As I arrive at Jason and Catherine Hacker's home, I'm greeted by the sight of a moose head with large antlers and hanging portions of the animal large enough to put most beef cattle of my home state of Texas to shame.
We'll put a fan on it so it'll kind of get a crust on it, and that keeps the bugs off of it pretty good too. And then, once you get in more involved as processing goes, and you have to pretty much flay all the crust off. And then, get it down to whatever sizes you want.
That's Jason Hacker. He brought down the moose last week and is walking me through the process that will eventually lead the animal to his family's dinner table. He's currently working on a hindquarter, which he says will yield quite a bit of meat. All in all, he thinks he may get 800 pounds from the moose, enough to feed the whole family well into next year. Friends and neighbors who pitch in also get to take some of the bounty home. Processing the meat will probably take the better part of a week, and I was curious how he determines what sort of cuts to make. He says the location of the meat on the animal is a big factor.
On some of the stuff that I got right here, it's the lower part of the leg, so it's got more tendons, and it's a little more tougher stuff, and you wouldn't want, a steak or something out of that. Obviously, you'll be chewing on it for a week and not really getting anywhere with it. So that helps, and if you get, a big roast and you need to cut it down to a smaller piece. You'll have a little bit left over and you can turn that into burger or whatever too.
Turning the small cuts into burger meat will be my job today. I put on an apron and gloves while Jason shows me how to work the meat grinder.
And you just feed them down in there. Different settings for this. Not settings, but different meshes, I guess you would call that. And so you could grind it through, grind once and come out with it like a more chunkier hamburger. And then you can change that out and run it through again and get a finer burger.
I fire up the grinder and start feeding in thin strips of meat. Within about 10 minutes, the grinder has produced enough ground moose to fill a large kitchen bowl. While I wait for more small pieces to send through the machine, I talk to Jason's wife, Catherine. She's not afraid to get her hands dirty with the butchering, but right now she's focusing on getting the meat packaged for the freezer. She says that after eating moose for years, she has trouble going back to beef.
It's healthy, it's organic, it's free range. The animal was treated well. I mean, even my vegetarian friends don't have too much of a hard time with us doing this because the animal wasn't mistreated in any way. We're always respectful and thankful to the animal for providing food for us. And there's no hormones or growth-injected anything or other. So, yeah, compared to beef, this is incredible.
I asked Catherine what sort of dishes are possible with moose, and she gave me a litany of food items that could fill a feature piece all on its own. Catherine and Jason both say they enjoy the versatility of the ground meat and the ease of cooking a roast. Their children seem to enjoy moose tacos. As we talk, Catherine mentions that I should contact Steve Harrison, the PE teacher at Sioux Valley High. She says he organizes the Moose Club, which teaches students how to process moose. I did call Harrison later, who says the club, which is in its third year, uses equipment purchased with grant funding to retrieve and process roadkill moose. Students take part in the processing, and the meat is donated to charity. By then, there are plenty more small cuts of meat to be minced. After a few more rounds with the grinder, it's time for me to head back to the radio station, having checked an item off my learning to be an Alaskan list. For KTNA, I'm Philip Manning.